Quiet in the studio. There's a lot been happening this week, and we've got a lot to talk about, and the Ravens not here, so it gives us more time to talk about these things. So here we go. Well, hello there. This is your absolutely fabulous digital host of that digital pub called Cheshire Matters. And tonight we are without the Raven. Okay, I was expecting like sort of loads of applause, cheers, or anything like that. You know,
yeah, but I was going to go. Oh, what a shame! But I couldn't be bothered.
I know. It gets you that way, doesn't it? You know, it gets you that way. Well, in that case, then we know that the Gazelle is in the house because we just heard him. Say hello, Gazelle.
I certainly am, and good evening, everybody, and good evening, Raven. I've heard you flown the nest.
Yes, blown the nest. And we have the wonderful stats man, the man with all the facts and the figures, the man that keeps us in line. Say hello, Mr. Mark Hartley.
Greetings, landlord, the Gazelle. A massive big hello to our lovely listeners. Hope you're all well.
Good evening, Mark.
Did you hear that I lowered the volume of the music just for you, sir?
Oh, is that nice?
The night caller.
The night caller. Yes, he's got that kind of voice, hasn't he?
Certainly has. Drives all the women wild.
Oh, yes. But not wild enough to go knocking on his door.
Not that type of wild.
Gosh. Well, there's been a lot happening. The country is in recession. Well, a technical recession, quote unquote.
Might be, might not be.
You don't know.
Technical recession. Is that like being pregnant? You're either pregnant or you're not pregnantish. A technical recession, what's that? We're either in a recession or we're not in a recession.
Well, we are in a recession. Our productivity has gone down. We are now at 0.3% GDP.
Yes, my business is telling me that we're slightly into a recession.
All right. Okay. Well, we're slightly into the landlord's roundup. And the first story is the Met Police threatened to arrest another Christian in London. Officer is seen in standoff with gospel preachers who were accused of hate crime after complaint from a member of the public over homophobic comments. One member of the public, mind, that was. So, basically, a Met Police officer threatened to arrest a Christian preacher who was accused of a hate crime weeks after a gospel singer was threatened with arrest for singing religious songs. What the hell is this country coming to?
Is that not quite a contradiction in terms? Well, a Christian leader is being accused of a hate crime. Them two don't go together.
Well, there you go. Right, can we pass it through to Stats Man? Go on, Stats, because we haven't got the Raven here. So we've got loads of time. Loads of time because the Raven isn't here.
Whoop, whoop.
Go on, Stats.
Just Christianity, is it?
Yeah, just Christianity.
We're just picking on this one, are we?
I
remember dispatches going undercover in mosques many years ago and found way worse stuff than whoever was preaching whatever that was. But again, we ignore that stuff, don't we? And we concentrate on Christianity, as always. Fantastic. I'd say if the police could speak Arabic, they'd be in trouble in these mosques. But no, they wouldn't, would they? Let's face it.
No.
They wouldn't whatsoever. It's just another action towards destroying this country.
Correct.
There seems to be a massive agenda to destroy this country's culture.
Correct. The Met Police are now becoming an enemy of the people of this country. They're not a supporter. They're not, and yet it is the majority of this country who are actually paying their wage. And as far as I can see, they're actually biting the hand that feeds them, and I'm sick and tired of it. They need to understand now that if they carry on doing what they're doing, people in this country are going to find a way politically to actually stop paying them and pay another police force. Go ahead, Mark.
I wish they would.
Will it be politically, though? I mean, you look at some of these demonstrations from the truckers across Canada and America and the farmers in Europe. In fact, the truckers in America now are refusing to take stuff to New York. They said, we've had enough of the left's treatment of Trump.
Correct.
So see how you get on, because the majority of their stuff's imported.
Yep. And once they begin to understand when people down tools and don't support the police, the Met police are actually sitting there and they're thinking, the leadership thinks, well, you know, we'll just keep on going. If the people do not support them, then they have a massive, massive problem. Go ahead, Mark.
So they're already losing a lot of the firearms officers because they won't support their own officers. It's what's happened in America. Looks like, you know, the old George Floyd thing. It looks like they're trying to do this over here now. So, you know, the police shoot someone and it's like, we don't care. It's, you're up on a charge. So if you're going to start losing your firearms officers, I think we've got a slight issue. Yeah. And it won't be long till the rest of them walk as well when they've got no one who's armed to protect them.
Yeah.
Let's see how this unfolds. And don't say we didn't warn you, because we always do.
Well, they're getting it wrong. Left, right, and centre.
Yep.
And that's the truth. And it's because they're probably getting conflicting communications from the government, because the governments are in a total and utter mess at the moment. Let's move on to the next one, and this is more local. Cheshire East. The deputy says he can't live on a £30,000 pay. A council leader, deputy leader, said he can no longer afford to do the role on £30,000 a year. Independent councillor Craig Brown said the post at Cheshire East Council was financially unsustainable for him. He described the role as a full-time job on a part-time salary. Now, has this guy got another job anywhere? Do we know?
That's a part-time salary, is it? 30 yeah. grand a year, yeah.
30 grand a year.
Yeah, as a councillor, that will be part-time.
That's a nice part-time salary, that, like, I'll be honest with you.
I'll tell you what, I've got to jump in on this. Nurses, love them to bits. But certain comments are coming out with that we've got nurses living at food banks, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the starting wage for a nurse, you're running around about 24,000.
Yeah.
And again, if somebody can't live and they're living on food banks at 24,000, well, I'm sorry, but they really need to cut their cloth.
Yep, absolutely. Go ahead, Mark.
You know,
maybe this council leader needs to ask the CEO and all the management for a borrow, because I think we reported on recently and a while back that Cheshire East have actually got one of the highest wages.
Yep.
For all their officers. So it's all right to pay them 150,000-200,000 a year, but the leader just gets 30.
Yeah.
Something's totally wrong in this country with the way money is distributed.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't even know why we need these councillors there. Because quite simply, they're not knowledgeable. They don't have knowledge of the particular jobs that they're supposed to be doing.
You're telling me, John.
Yeah. So I say, why don't we get rid of all the councillors and just get somebody in to run the council properly, like a corporate? Go ahead, Mark.
They've definitely got no knowledge, because did this guy not research this job before he went and took it? So you stand in election for a wage you know you're going to get and then moan about it afterwards. What world do these people live in? Do you apply for a job knowing that that wage isn't going to be enough for you to live on?
Yeah.
If you think you can get more.
No, totally agree.
Living in a dream.
A part-time wage, £30,000.
Not
so
part-time.
I don't know what hours he's working, but let's say 10. So pro rata, he'd be on 100,000 if he was doing it full-time. What are you talking about? So he must have some other form of income.
I know when the gazelle is getting really irate over something, because his voice goes higher in his pitch.
I know, I'm telling you, I've got things written down here that I'm just sticking pins in my eyes. Honestly.
Well, let's move on to the next one quickly. The post office boss said, I was told to stall compensation to help Tories. Henry Staunton had only been in the post since 2022, but when he was sacked, he said Kemi Badenoch told him somebody's got to take the rap. So his main thing is, he said that basically he was being forced by the Tories to stall the compensation to the post office, postmasters and the postmistresses, or sub-postmasters.
Okay. And on it goes. It just goes on and on, doesn't it?
Yeah. So
the more revelations come out about it, the worse it gets.
Oh yeah. So and Kemi Badenoch does not come out of this too nicely, because she came back and said, you know, he's telling lies. Now, why would this guy tell lies about something like that? He's out of the job, yeah. And also, he would be causing himself problems for any future jobs which actually involved the government in that way. So why would he say that? It's obviously true. And I've gone off Kemi Badenoch. I have to tell you now, I've gone off her completely. Go ahead, Stats.
Well, I believe him too, because there's a pattern emerging here, because the government not very good with compensation. Some of the people, you know, who were injured by the safe and effective jab, I mean, how do you put them two things in the same sentence? But I was being sarcastic. Some of them haven't received the money either, and a lot of them are just being ignored. Prove it, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I believe him.
Well, that's the way that I feel about it. And the other big story, how did Navalny, you know, the Russian opposition leader to Putin, how did he die?
Choked on a fishbone.
His body was found bruised in the morgue. I mean, this kind of makes a mockery of Putin, to be honest with you, when your opposition leader dies in a prison that you're controlling. What is the score there?
Another Jeffrey Epstein, do you think?
Well, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Putin's just made a big mistake, unless the prison officers have gone above and beyond their position and taken their orders a little bit too seriously. Now that they've done that, Putin really doesn't have any credibility. And he's hoping that this will all be forgotten in a couple of months, but I don't think it's going to be forgotten.
Someone might have done this to get at him, to then put the blame on him. You're never going to know, though, are you? This is the problem.
Yeah, this is the thing. Well, I guarantee that if it was the prison officers that did this, I guarantee that you'll never know their name and you'll never know of their existence, because they're probably now known as the disappeared.
I can imagine politicians probably aren't very welcome in prison, a bit like police officers, so who knows? He might have made an enemy in there, which is very likely, to be honest.
Yeah, can be.
I'm not going to say either way, because you're probably never going to know.
I'll tell you what, I mean, this Russian thing now, I mean, looking at it, they're getting nearly as secretive as us, aren't they?
With all the cameras that we've got in this country, how can anything be secretive unless... Oh, no, I can see your point, because it will be the government at the highest levels that will be keeping everything secret. Go ahead, Stats.
Yeah, there's probably more cameras on the law-abiding public than there is on the criminals in jail. As has proved with the likes of Epstein and all this, you know. Shouldn't there be cameras on them, especially?
Indeed.
Watching them in the cells, especially if they're on suicide watch. But no, they're not on the streets, watching the man on the street going about his shopping, tracking every car registration, monitoring all our movements. Oh, isn't it nice?
Oh, really?
Like living in the Soviet Union.
It is an actual fact. We're living in an open prison.
Yeah.
That's the truth. We're living in an open prison. And people do not realize it. They're sitting back. Let's move on to the national, and we'll talk about another open prison, which is called Labour.
Yeah, I'll just throw just one in the roundup that I want to throw in.
Go ahead.
It's only because it's breaking. I've got a lot of breaking news here tonight.
Breaking. Or is it breaking? Breaking
news, yeah.
Breaking.
It's just the NHS again. I mean, the left waffer are at it again. We've got here.
Not saying it's great.
The left waffer.
Yeah, the left waffer. They're at it again, right? The NHS, they've released a letter saying that trans women's breast milk. We made a joke about this many a time about chest feeding. You know, a big, hairy Liverpool docker feeding his baby, right? And they've now come out. I mean, this has got to be wrong. This has really got to be sorted out. Now, they're saying that trans women's breast milk is equivalent to a mother's breast milk. Whoa.
Can't be, because trans women are men.
Whoa. Ow. What a utter load of crap, right? How many drugs are these men given to end up with a couple of boobies, right? They're given all sorts of drugs.
I've got a couple of those without drugs.
Well, yours might be okay. Your breast milk might be brilliant for a baby. But these trans here, with all these drugs, don't forget, when these pregnant women, they've
that
only got
so
to take...
That is so unpolitically correct.
They've got to take... If they take paracetamol, they've got to be careful when they're breastfeeding. If they're taking any form of medication. Now, these numpties, what they're doing is they're shoving all sorts of chemicals in the body to get themselves a couple of boobies. And then they start putting milk out. No.
Mine are coming naturally.
But they're not biologically designed to produce milk. It's a whole load of nonsense.
He's laughing away there. He's seeing what I'm talking.
Maybe we should all rock up to the hospital and say, we've run out of milk for our brews. Can we borrow some?
No. Yeah. I had goat's milk in my coffee once, and I'll never have it again. And there's no way I'm having an airy docker's tit in my coffee, I'm telling you. That ain't going to happen.
You know, I think rather than like trying to argue with morons over this bizarre nonsense, we've just got to take the absolute piss out of them, to be fair. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's the only angle that might, yeah.
Got to be shame them out of it, because you try and debate them and they've got no brains to debate, so what's the point?
That's right. And if you haven't got the ability to debate, then you can't actually get down to any resolution.
I know. If you ask like a 7 or 8 year old if men can produce breast milk, just look at the look on the face when you say it. Not that you should happen to be saying this nonsense to children, but we have to now to just set the record straight.
I think that we're on this subject. We need a mass debate, telling you. Because it's absolutely pathetic. This has got to be stopped, Chris. Stop it.
Raven wouldn't be part of this conversation. He would just be disgusted, sir. Disgusted.
Get rid of it. Get rid of it.
Anyway, let's move on to the national. And this is one that I'm absolutely certain that the Gazelle will be interested in commenting upon. Right, Rochdale by-election. Labour can't replace Azhar Ali, and what happens if he wins? Well, if he wins as an independent, because Labour withdrew all support for him at the latest stage.
Well, I've got breaking news again tonight, Mr. Landlord.
Oh, what? That was my actually impression. That was my impression of music for breaking news.
Well, I appreciate that. Not quite sure what it was, but I appreciate it.
Well, we don't want to break copyright by using anybody else's music or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, see.
But that's my copyright, and I'm claiming it.
Yeah, I do appreciate the effort. But anyway... Yeah, so we've got Rochdale, quite close to my heart, obviously, because I've got, Reform UK has got a candidate down there. And I've actually been down there campaigning with him.
I thought you were going to say it's close to your breast milk, sir, but there you go.
No. I've not got any hairs on my chest. I am absolutely...
Hairless.
Hairless, yeah.
I can't comment on that because I've never seen, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, hairless. I was down there with Dan Duke, Simon Dan Duke, the Reform candidate.
What a guy!
Yeah, he is. He's a nice guy, actually. I will endorse him as a nice guy. I know he had a bit of a, a messy...
Questionable
messy private life, but these things happen. It happens to us all, I should say, maybe.
Not me. I've been married, happily married for all these years. Well, and I say that happily, quote unquote.
Married. You and Mr. Raven. He's also been happily married.
He's another one that goes happily, quote unquote.
I will withdraw that last comment that some people have, bits of messy marriages. Now, this could really go anyway, this. You've got Galloway chasing a Muslim vote.
From the river to the sea! From the river to the Mersey!
I tell you what, on a serious note there, right, when I saw that the launch of Galloway's campaign, where again were the police? Because he had them all chanting, all the Muslim groups that were around him chanting, from the river to the sea, we shall be free, free Palestine, etc. No, hang on. If that's not hate,
yeah,
speech or creation,
what is it?
I don't know what is, right? So this could really go anywhere. Now you've got Galloway chasing a Muslim vote, and now you've got Wes Streeton today, this morning, was suggested. Now don't forget, this is unprecedented. This never happened before.
Was he being suggestive?
Suggestive. Now he was this morning telling the Labour voters to go out to actually vote Labour, but spoil their ballot papers. Now I found that odd. Because what he's frightened of is the Labour voters going elsewhere. Now, breaking news tonight on the Rochdale thing.
Come on, Gazelle.
The Green Party have suspended their candidate.
The Green Party?
You've not heard a thing about it, have you?
Nope.
Labour suspended their candidate, and the Green Party have withdrawn their support for Guy Otten. And also, you're going to love this one. This is an absolute cracker, this one. There's also a candidate that's standing for the Lib Dems in the local, you've got the local elections coming up in May, and he's standing for Mid Rochdale. And he's only been out campaigning and putting out all the leaflets for Galloway. A Lib Dem has been out, an Asian fella, and he's been canvassing for George Galloway going against the Lib Dems.
Politically speaking, that guy is going to be taken out to the cornfields. There's going to be a ditch dug, and that guy is going to be buried. That's it.
I absolutely love it, this. He's been out putting out leaflets and canvassing for George Galloway in this by-election, and he's standing for the Lib Dems.
Anyway, God.
They've got him on two occasions, and he's been suspended by the Lib Dems. And like I say, you've not heard that one, have you? The Green Party?
No, not been mainstream. Coming first from the Gazelle, what do you say, Statsman? What do you think of that?
That's breaking that. The Green Party's withdrawn. So how many more have we got? We've only got Independents and Galloway and Danjuke. That's it.
Well, I don't think Danjuke's going to get it, but go ahead, Statsman. What's your assessment?
I think Labour have got a massive problem. As if we all of these Palestine candidates actually start getting any traction in these elections. The problem here we've got is these pro-Palestinian candidates are all working together.
You are pardoned, my son.
Not just in the capital.
In the name of Labour, Conservative, and the Holy Toast, you are pardoned, my son. Go ahead.
You are right. You are very, very right.
Anyway. No, the trying to unseat politicians, which is fair in my book, but I'm just not so sure on their agenda here. I've always said that Labour's heavy involvement with a certain community will come back to bite them on the backside, and I think this one has. Now, like Trevor said here, this isn't about Labour, and it's not about the Lib Dems, and it's not about the Greens, and it's not about Rochdale, and it's not about grooming gangs, it's not about England, it's not about our constitutional monarchy. We all know what this is about, and it's about their religion. Now, if Labour don't vote for reform in Rochdale, they're either going to be left with the fake Conservatives, who they really love, or the jihadis. So they've got a choice to make here, haven't they? So they're just going to spoil the ballots now, are they? Which I can see it'll work, because there's going to be a general election soon anyway, so hopefully they might be able to get a different candidate in. But we'll just go back to Galloway, the absolute state of his campaign launch. It literally consisted of him standing on some stairs, speaking some Arabic, and whipping up a predominantly Muslim crowd. And as you said there, leading from the river to the sea chant. So yeah, where were the police if they're cracking down on all this? I'd say Rochdale probably got more priorities. The rape gang scandal. You know, you've got financial worries now with local governments and stuff. But instead, it's all got to revolve around this Palestine thing, hasn't it? The best people aren't putting themselves forward for these positions. Instead, we're getting people who prioritise their religion and foreign conflicts.
Yeah.
And with Galloway, like Trevor said, it's selective outrage. And he's using the Muslims to gain power. The funny thing about all this is I think Keir Starmer's probably doing more than anyone to alleviate this problem. I'm actually amazed at how many of these Palestine, or I'm going to say Hamas sympathisers, he's actually binned off. But if he thinks ditching a few of them for a few comments is going to fix this, then he's sadly mistaken, because with them, I'm afraid religion comes first. And they're totally brainwashed into believing this genocide nonsense. Everyone's a Zionist. You know, it's all Israel's fault.
Have you seen Starmer's flip-flop again this morning?
No, oh, what's he changed to this time?
He's turned round now and he said, we have to have a complete ceasefire.
Oh, is this because he's realising he's going to lose more than just a few people?
He's going to lose a Muslim vote. But a Muslim vote in Rochdale is only one third, you know, of the voters.
I know.
It's actually one third. So the other two thirds, what are they going to do?
I don't know. But
where's the vote going to go?
My main issue with all this is this what politics has begun now? Thanks to multiculturalism. All the world's problems now wash up on our shores because we left half the world come here. And I've said this before, we can't be the world's police while allowing people from the countries we're trying to police, so to speak, come into our country to stay here.
That's an excellent point, that, Mark.
Otherwise, like this, everything's got to revolve around Gaza now. And it's not just them. There's other groups jumping on the bandwagon now.
Yeah, but this country isn't Gaza.
No, I know, but I know it's selective because there's lots of other conflicts going on where Muslims are being killed or encamped, say, by the Chinese. But they're totally ignored. Now, is that because there's no Jews involved? And I think everyone's realising this now. Nigel Farage has come out and said he's worried, which is rich because we tried to warn about all this, 8, 9, 10 years ago, and we all got called Nazis or whatever it was. I just think we've got problems coming here with this. And you look, but people are starting to wake up. Look at James Whale. Since this whole Gaza thing's come out, he's just been having imams on there, just questioning them nonstop about Islam and why is it violent and why. And you're just like, wow, is it now finally sinking in?
No, well, James Whale's on his way out, isn't he?
Dying, isn't he?
Yeah. He's dying, yeah.
But he's totally changed over the last few months.
Yeah, I mean, I was out leafleting for Danjet the other day and I couldn't believe it. I went into this house with a long garden in it. And Galloway, he sat there just meowing on the doorstep.
Is he still doing that cat thing, is he?
Yeah, he's still a cat. Yeah, he was pretending to be a cat and he was just meowing on the doorstep. I kicked him out because I do that with all cats.
He's to blame then for all this gender identity. Has he started it off, did he, by pretending to be a cat? God, he's got a lot to answer for, hasn't he?
I've just been delivered another refreshment.
Oh, look at that. Daughter. And only the best refreshment for Mr. Landlord. Look at that, Peroni. Who's that? Is that Jeanette?
That was Millie. I've just deleted it. She's not getting any say on this. cheeky witch.
Again, just in between, I know we're on about Rochdale, and it's still to do with a council. And this is a food for thought, and this is a big issue, this is something that something that was brought up the other day that crossed my mind. You know, during COVID,
yeah,
the government paid workers' wages via furlough, yeah?
Yeah.
Right? They paid 80% of the wages. Now, the biggest bill at Warrington Borough Council is a worker's staff's wages. That's the biggest bill that Warrington Borough Council have. Out of the, you know, the taxes, etc. So if the government was paying 80% of the workers' wages during COVID, which was around 2 years, where did the council wages go?
Good question.
Interesting.
What about all the payoffs? And when you look at council finances, there's massive chunks of money going to pay people off who have been let go or they've come to the end. Who paid all that then during COVID?
Correct.
Exactly. That's a good point now, isn't it? I mean...
very good.
Because the government was paying 80% of the wages. So the government officially was paying 80% of Warrington Borough Council's wage.
Yes.
No, the taxpayer was.
Taxpayer.
Well, all right. Well, we was. Yeah, the taxpayer was. But the point is, so where did that 80% go? How much is that?
Tons. Absolute tons.
Millions?
Yeah.
So...
Because don't forget, Warrington, we're also having to pay off the interest on all the loans that they've taken out as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, 80% for, I'd say, definitely 18 months. The government was paying 80% of the public's wages, which is 80% of Warrington Borough Council's wages.
Yeah.
So where was the 80% of the money going?
Yeah.
Is it accounted? Is it in those accounts that never get signed off?
Council accounts, and I can speak to you quite honestly about this because I was a councillor at one time. I have to say that they are a mystery on how they actually work, because I can remember with the old council in Ellesmere Port and Neston, the accountant would actually put down, for example, the moving of one desk to another room, a cost of £200. And you would sit back and you'd say, so it costs somebody, two people, to lift up a desk and move it into another room, £200? And that was Borough Council accounting. Now,
so it wasn't moved from Ellesmere Port to an office in Warrington?
No. No, it was moved from one room in a building to another room on the same floor.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Unbelievable. Go ahead, Mark.
They'll have contractors, won't they? Removals. They won't move them themselves, you know, just to save a few quid, like you would, you know, in your own business that you run or in your house.
It's just, it's incredible.
And the people will come in to do it, and they'll probably have been charged a day or two's work for it, minimum rate, whatever it is.
Yeah, which will be Uncle John or Auntie Margaret or somebody like that.
But John's got a point when you look at all these finances.
Or Auntie Bob.
Yeah,
you never know.
Auntie Bob, the breastfeeder.
That's the one.
Yeah, they don't half muddy the waters with these finances, because every time you read it, it's, oh, we've got to make up this amount over the next 1 to 2 years.
And so they'll crunch the figures.
Over the next 1 to 4 years, and then we've got to save this over the next 5 years. And you're like, do you even know what's going on?
No.
What years is it? When are you setting your budgets? Your yearly budgets.
As we're talking about this,
like, what the hell?
This is a great shoe in to the local.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, it's a great shoe in when we're talking about this. Now, question. Cheshire West tax rises and budget cuts confirmed. Not just Cheshire West, but Warrington Council tax to rise.
We're all good.
Okay. I mean, there's just so much going on. Let's just take the Cheshire West tax rises and budget cuts confirmed. The council tax will rise by 4.99% for people living in one half of Cheshire.
Welcome to my world.
Well, I just want to say, and people don't realise how that's going to affect them. They have no idea about basically what's going on. So Cheshire West are actually planning to cut 124 jobs, including 46 in the coming year. So that means that services, in one way or another, are going to come down. Go ahead, Mark.
It won't be their jobs, will it?
No. Again,
this is my point. Where's our democracy? You know, this democracy they're all the old shouts
about. We're supposed
about.
To be able to have a choice on this at 4.99.
There's no referendum. It's literally the Localism Act. What's the point of all these acts and these codes of conduct, etc.? They're just going to totally ignore them. So both the government and council are literally, again, they're taking the mick here and they can't wait. But this has been coming, John, and we've said this. The last 3 years we've reported on this. In 2020, it was a 23 million financial hole. Then you got to 2021-22 and it was 30 million. Then last year when I ran for the election on my flyers, it was a 90 million funding gap, and now they've only identified a 30 million saving. So that doesn't fill any of them black holes.
No.
So this is the spiral. This is probably how what it happened to all these other councils. Warrington probably a bit more extreme because of the risky investments, but we can see it creeping up and creeping up, and it's everybody else's fault, of course. I'm reading one of these articles you're talking here, and I think it's someone from Warrington where they're introducing the budget coming up, and apparently now they are even having the cheek to blame this on Israel.
Oh,
I mean,
Jesus.
Come on, for crying out loud. That does not affect the budget because the government are now have put an extra $4.5 billion onto local funding. So they're giving you more.
Yeah.
You can't be blaming countries thousands of miles away for your bad management. I'm sorry, but this is really frustrating me now.
Well, did you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the old pharma excuses. So that whenever you get a medication, the medication from a pharma never actually resolves the initial issue. It actually continues so that you actually buy more medication.
Correct.
And this is what it is reminding me of. You know, so
like those jabs.
Yeah, exactly. You said
if you're one or two or three or four of, you're going to need them for the rest of life.
That's right. Exactly. Nail on the head. They never actually come up with the magic bullet. They always come up with something that you're actually going to need to go back to them to buy more of, because it never actually resolves the issue. And this is the thing that we always see in local politics and local accountancy of borough councils. Go ahead, Mark.
22% of the government's budget comes from government grants. Some local government's budget, sorry, comes from government grants. So that's less than, what, 25%?
Yep.
Yeah, it's the government's fault. I'm sorry. Maybe the government have got some to blame, but I think the previous government before 2020 also have to. Because why do you think this got reduced so much?
Yeah.
Because Labour destroyed, crashed the economy. We'll use their stupid verbiage, shall we? Because Labour must have crashed the economy back in the day and left a little note saying there was no money left. So what do you think they're going to get?
Yeah.
This is frustrating. This is just victim blaming culture. It's always someone else's fault. No one ever wants to take any responsibility
or liability for what's going on. Because name me any councillor leader of the councils that have ever actually accepted liability for the poor investments and the wasting of money from the decisions that they've actually led. Go ahead, Gazelle.
We need more money with skins.
You've just taken me off my trap there, Jonathan. I received an email the other day off a constituent because, obviously, as you know, I'm standing for Reform UK for Warrington North.
Yay, the Gazelle!
And they said to me, would you make sure that there will be an inquiry into this $1.8 billion debt? And I said, when you get elected, I love them. I love my fans. When you get elected, will you make sure that there's an inquiry that goes into the signing of these accounts and also into the $1.8 billion debt?
Will anybody ever get Russ Bowden as leader of the council for actually leading people into these debts? Will they ever get any liability against him?
And I said, Mr. Landlord, I state to you that if I am elected for Warrington North, I will do my best to make sure that there is an independent inquiry as into the debt that has been accrued in Warrington Council. And I also assure you I'll go up and above that, and I will do my best to make sure that the council leader and his deputy leader will be made accountable and not just walk away into the sunset.
That's it, the liability.
I wrote that in an email to one of my constituents. I said, I will do my best. I will go up and above what you're asking, and I will make sure that they are accountable for what they've done in this town.
Not just in a Labour-controlled council, but even in Thurrock Council. I mean, Jesus, the stuff that's gone on down there is just incredible. Go ahead, Stats.
Yep. I can put a stop to all this. How about some liability or accountability for the people who voted these people in? Because they're doing it over and over and over again. So we've took loads of stick for failed Brexit, which still hasn't really happened and should have been way better than it was.
Yeah.
That wasn't our fault, but you get grief for it non-stop. So how about we change the system here? Well, if only. And that'll stop
stupid
them from voting
people
over and over again, won't it?
Stupid people, tribal voting.
Before Trevor comes in, though, that this is one of the things, right? So you never hear any of them complain about billions wasted on all this green nonsense. There's always cash for, I don't know, wars or like silly little woke virtue signaling projects like I'm going to do a shout down to in the Sadiq Khan. There's unlimited
amounts. Don't forget the LGBTQ plus alphabet crew. Well, all the money that was spent on that kind of crap.
I'm just coming to this one now. So while we're now being told we won't have any Christmas lights, I can bet you my bottom dollar they're still funding gay pride.
Oh, if they do, after cutting off the Christmas lights, if they do, I'm telling you what, Louise Gittins is going to get some massive hassle from us. We are just going to turn around and say, yeah, what are you going to do? Christmas lights? Christmas lights? I'm sorry, but, you know, you're full of it. I'm telling you,
I have
you,
a
Louise.
Note here that leads on from what Mark said. Price rises. This is what I've written down tonight. Warrington again, 4.99%.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sick of this maximum rise every year. You're only getting it now. I've had this for the last 12 years, right? And yet the morons, now I am standing for council this year, up and above what I'm standing for.
I am standing for
local council again. And yes, the morons still vote Labour in time and time again.
If they do, they're an idiot because it's Labour that got them into a $1.8 billion deficit.
And I'll say it again. The morons. It's written down there.
Morons. With a capital
M. The morons keep voting them in.
Idiots.
I will still stand and I will give them that choice. But they won't take it. They will still vote Labour in. They are morons.
Morons. They are. Anybody that votes Labour in Warrington is a moron.
Is a moron.
Well, anywhere, full stop. We spoke last week, this tribal thing. People need to now start using the brains, if they've got any, and think logically about the good and the bad decisions that are being made. And voting these people in repeatedly for this conveyor belt of failure is a really bad decision.
Yeah.
And it's no good, we don't like the Tories, no, we don't like that Keir Starmer. Stop all this nonsense. We fix this problem. We've got massive issues coming here. And all people's agendas are always the opposite of what it needs to be, Gaza and all this other stuff. How about England, please?
Let's get back to Nimrod by Elgar. Some of the great things that England ever put. Let me tell you, I've never heard a Muslim ever compose a piece of music like Nimrod by Elgar. Name me any Muslim composer that's ever created anything like anybody, any composer by the West. I'm sorry, but...
It's because music's from...
Excuse my ignorance, but I thought Nimrod was a plane.
No, Nimrod. Oh, you've got to hear that music. Or Nearer My God to Thee by André Rieu and his orchestra. I'm sorry. You know, if the Muslims have got anything that they can actually compete with music in the West, let's hear it. Otherwise, nah. I'm sorry, but I'm just... You know, it's just the way that I feel about certain things at the moment. And when you listen to that music, you suddenly go, hey, what about Pomp and Circumstances?
Oh, gone, John. No one's proud of who we are and what we've achieved. And what
I am.
No, I know we are, but in general, the youth have just got no identity anymore, unless it's a cat, a dog, the moon.
And I'm telling you.
You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, when Trevor goes to give his speeches... I want that music.
It's because they took words away as well. Like, to be proud of something was a good thing at one point, unless it was about England or your ethnicity. Now you've just got to be proud about your sexuality.
Yeah, or your pronouns. Get lost.
I don't
shove it. I want the music for Trevor to be... I want him to come on like this and give a speech at a lectern, just like an American president.
Not like Joe Biden in the red.
I just want to say what a great... Is it day? Is it night? Is it... What?
Ice cream.
Ice cream, that's the one. That's the one.
I like kids touching the hairs on my legs.
What about ice cream?
That's Joe Biden. That's Joe Biden on the buttons. All right, here we go. well, we can't ask the Raven to go buy a drink, and we wouldn't want to get a drink off him because that guy never has any money. He never has anything to bring out. We don't care anymore. We just want.
He's got nothing to bring to the party.
No, he's got nothing there. All right, that's it. Okay? So, if you come on next week, you come on. If you don't, well, is anybody going to be shedding a tear?
What? What?
There you go.
Raven
lunatic. Anyway, go ahead. Statsman, have you got any?
Let Gazelle go.
Have you got any shout downs or shout ups or whatever?
Well, no, it's more sort of it's a statement, really. The vacuum cleaner salesman knocked on my door this morning, about 10:30 it was. And before he spoke, he tipped a bucket of dog shit all over my carpet. And he said, if this vacuum doesn't remove every trace of it, I'll personally eat what's left. And I said, I'll tell you what, mate, oh, you're hungry. He turned me electric off this morning. Love it.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
I needed something like that after this one.
Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead. Tonight,
so frustrated. I was like, "Please tell us a good joke." Yeah, I can't top that. So I'm going to do a shout down to Sadiq Khan for whatever the hell he's doing. Apparently now we're not interested in statues of the Queen on this fourth plinth. Apparently it's got to be a tribute to. Well, I'm going to say the proper terminology: trans prostitutes, not sex workers. They are prostitutes. Who were apparently marginalised. Now, I've got a theory on this one. So when the curb crawler pulls up on the road and he says, how much for the BJ, love? And she turns around and goes, 20 quid. And he screeches off and you can smell the rubber. That's not marginalised. Is it?
It's just, how much?
20 quid, mate. 20 quid. On your wheel, spin off, ski. That's not marginalised. That's just no one's interested.
Well, this is going to send all the listeners from the blind institutes going crazy.
But hang on. It says more about Sadiq Khan. Why is he in with loads of trans prostitutes? Why is he trying to give them tributes?
I have no idea. If you think about it, that isn't going to do fathom well.
I don't know why any Muslim votes for him, because he's definitely not one.
That guy is nutso. If he doesn't get voted out at a certain time, then this country is lost. It's going to split. London can go, well, I was just going to say London can go themselves.
Has he got a wife? Is he married, Sadiq?
Yeah, he is married.
I think if my other half was banging on about trans prostitutes and stuff, I'd be really concerned, like, to the point where I'd actually be filing for divorce, regardless of proof.
She's only waiting to see if he gets back in. If he doesn't, then she'll divorce him.
She'll divorce him. She'll get rid of him.
Oh, no, it was probably a Sharia wedding. So he can divorce her by saying, I divorce you 3 or 4 times, but she has to go through the whole rigmarole of the imam.
Can we
saying,
do that over here? Can we, you know, I divorce you. I divorce you. I divorce you. No, I'm not divorced. It didn't work. It didn't work.
Soon enough, John. Don't worry. You got no choice in it.
And a shout came back in your dreams.
Okay, I'm calling it.
I'm calling Sadiq's wife needs to check his phone.
I'm calling it. That's got to be the best one. I tell you what, if the Raven stays off more and more and more, we're going to get more and more radical. I'm telling you. I'm not going to be sitting here thinking I've just got to watch what I've got to say because this man is chewing oats. Forget it. No more. No more. As far as I'm concerned. Hey, Sadiq. Right? Eat my shorts.
What we going to do on a serious note if he gets elected in May?
Oh, Jesus. Okay. It'll be war. We'll just set the Templars against him and just start a new war against the Muslims in this country.
Let him carry on. He's probably alienating them as it is.
Oh, yeah. You know, and just say to him, look, you're a minority. Okay, get used to it.
I really think that the only chance we've got of getting rid of him is if Jeremy Corbyn stands as independent, which will absolutely split the vote, because you got Howard Cox for Reform, who's not going to take anything anyway.
No.
You've got thingy for the Conservatives.
Get your words together. Come on.
No, I was trying to think of a word while I was just dragging it out, but I can't think of a name, actually. Losing something.